I want to give just two more examples, and these were anecdotal, reported to me rather than actual taped conversations. One couple told me that the man commented one time, having a serious discussion with his wife, that he was having kind of a midlife crisis. And she said, yeah, I know, I'm having a midlife crisis too. And his feeling was, can I even have my midlife crisis to myself? She felt that she was offering similar feelings to make him feel better, which is what she would have wanted if she had talked about her midlife crisis. She would rather think she's not the only one in the family having a midlife crisis. But he felt that it was somehow detracting from his, taking something away from him, implying that she had the same thing. This doesn't mean that women always just want sympathy and never want a solution to a problem. Sometimes they certainly do want someone to give a solution to a problem. There's a scene in the movie White Men Can't Jump that captures the absurdity of thinking you always want sympathy and never want actual action. There's a scene in the movie where a young man and a young woman, their boyfriend and girlfriend, they wake up in the morning. She's just getting up and she says, oh, I'm thirsty. And he says, oh, I'll get you a drink of water. And in the movie, she gets annoyed at him and she says, don't get me a drink of water. Tell me you understand. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I was thirsty once. I know what it's like to be thirsty. Well, believe it or not, that line actually comes from a conversation that my husband and I once had. And he said it as a kind of a joke. After the publication of You Just Don't Understand, I was being interviewed. It was for the Los Angeles Times. And they asked me how my husband was handling all the attention I was getting because of the publication of that book. And I said, oh, he's really fine with it. In fact, it's the object of jokes. And not long ago, I said in the interview, we were having dinner and I said I was thirsty and he started to get up and get me something to drink. And then he said, oh, sorry. And he sat back down and he said, I know what it's like to be thirsty. I was thirsty once. And he said that to be funny. That was written up in the article, and then it was apparently picked up by someone and incorporated into the movie. But the reason it's funny is because it's obviously a joke. Sometimes you do want action. So I'm not trying to say in the examples that I've given in this lecture, I'm not trying to say that all women ever want is for you to say, oh, I know how it feels. I was thirsty once. But that for many women, being close is measured by telling secrets, telling what's on your mind, talking about feelings, and therefore that's something that women learn over time to do. And it means that it's much easier for women to say how they feel. So perhaps if Pat had asked Bill, how do you feel about the kids leaving, he might not even have been able to say how he really deeply felt about it. What I've tried to show in this lecture, then, is the role of talk in close relationships among women and girls, and how that sometimes differs from the role of talk, the habits for talk, the conversational rituals, you might say, for men and boys. What I want to do in the next lecture is get a little more subtle in our analysis of how both women and men use language to balance the needs for power relations and connection relations. So up until this point, I've been developing the theme that in their talk, girls and women tend to focus more on the connection dimension, whereas boys and men tend to focus more on the power hierarchy or status, one up, one down dimension. And it's in that context that in this lecture, I've talked about the role of talk in establishing connection and intimacy in friendships for women. What I'm going to move to in the next lecture is to get a little more nuanced and subtle in our analysis of use of language by both women and men to balance the needs for power or hierarchy on the one hand and connection or closeness on the other.
This ends Lecture 5.